All right. So, hey, everybody, thanks for worshiping with us today here at Harvest Community Church. We're so glad that you're spending Sunday with us here at Harvest. And so I want to encourage you to do a few things, but first I want to introduce myself. Again, thanks for joining us with Harvest Community Church or Harvest Church Online, harvestchurcheugene.com. I'm Brian King. I am one of our pastors here at Harvest, and we're super glad that you're spending today with us. Just a couple of things I want to encourage you to do, as always. We'd love to have you, whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, go online and say hello to us. Just interact with us a little bit. We'd love to know you're watching. We'd love to know how you're doing today. Speaking of that, we'd also love it if you'd go into the links, again, either on YouTube or Facebook, and click on our digital communication card and then fill out that digital communication card. It not only lets us know that you're participating in today's service, but it also gives you the opportunity to request more information, ask questions, leave comments. It gives you a chance to share a prayer request, and we love those prayer requests, and we'd love to hear from you. If you're a guest with us today, or you're watching for the first or second time, you've never filled out one of those cards, we'd love to encourage you to do that. To recognize that you've done that, we'd like to give, if you do it, $5 in your name, and each of the names of each of your family members, we would give $5 in each of your names to our partners at Monroe Middle School. They have a fund that helps families in crisis, and we love to give to that fund. And one of our ways we do that, we give to it in your name when you fill out one of those cards. We promise not to show up at your house or anything like that. We just want to get to know you a little bit and send you a little bit of information. So, that being said, there's a couple other links and things you can do there. There are links for care groups. There are links for downloading the sermon notes. There's links for giving. If you're new, don't worry about that. But if you consider Harvest your home, we just want to say thank you for being so faithful to give over these last months. Real quick, I just have a couple of other announcements. I'm wondering how you're doing with our gratitude challenge. We've talked about the fact over and over and over that gratitude or thankfulness is the secret weapon of this year of 2020. And so I'm just wondering how you're doing it, collecting gratitudes through this season. It's just something for you to think about. I also want to encourage you, maybe you're interested in plugging in to one of our groups. And so if you're interested in one of our groups, please let us know on the digital communication card. Many of our small groups are getting started either back online or in person here in this season. Again, we're doing all we can to keep people safe. But if you're interested in a group, please let us know who you are and a little bit of information about you, and we will help you find a group that you can connect with. So important to walk our faith with other people, wouldn't you say? One other thing I just want to mention, I want to talk about our in-person services. I know you're watching online. You are more than welcome to continue to watch and be a part of our services online. But if you feel the need to come and be a part of our in-person services, we're online on Sundays at 9 a.m. We're in person at 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. We've made a lot of changes to protect you from a COVID perspective. Masks are required. We're distancing. Chairs are spaced out. All kinds of things we've done. But one of the things we need you to do is we have to limit our capacity. And to limit our capacity, we need you to RSVP if you're planning on joining us in person. To do that, we would encourage you to download the Church Center app. It's our app, or at least our version of the Church Center app. You download Church Center. You can find it in the Play Store or in the Apple Store, anything of that nature. And then, once you have it, you would connect it to Harvest Community Church in Eugene, Oregon. And then from there, there's a clear link to click on that just says RSVP for Sunday services. It's really that simple. Give us a little bit of information and you're good to go. And so we'd love to have you do that if you're interested in participating in worship with us in person. Of course, again, it's totally okay. We completely understand if you want to continue to just join us online. That being said, I have one other piece I want to mention. Next Sunday, we're going to, as a part of our worship service, celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And because we're doing that, we want to give you the chance online especially to prepare supplies. And so when you're out this week, you may want to pick up some juice or some matzah crackers or a loaf of bread, whatever you prefer for the bread side of it, and some grape juice. And honestly, if you're not prepared and you forget, you're going to be able to do this with just whatever you have in the house. We'll make sure we can make it work for you. And so just know that you're going to want to prepare for that next Sunday. So with that said, why don't I pray for us, and we'll continue our worship. Jesus, we thank you today for your grace, for your goodness. And we thank you that you know exactly what's going on in our lives. And you know how insanely crazy this year has been. So remind us that our security is in you, and remind us that we get to walk this life living out your way of life. Help us to do that. Empower us to do that and guide all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so hey, everybody, it's Brian with Harvest Community Church, or harvestchurcheugene.com. We're so glad to have you worship with us today. I just want to ask you to join me in prayer today. Jesus, we thank you that we can have joy in this life that has nothing to do with our circumstances. And so, Jesus, remind us today of how powerful you are, and how powerful your word is to mold us and shape us. And Lord, we pray you would do just that. That as we worship you by studying your word today, that you would mold and shape our hearts and make us more like Jesus. And in doing so, fill us with more joy and more grace. I pray all that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm so glad that you're worshiping with us today. I have a question for you. We've been over the last months, really, in the book of Philippians in the New Testament. And you can turn there with me if you'd like. Philippians chapter 4 will be there near the end of Philippians 4 in just a moment. But here's a question for you. You ever read like a book, or maybe not even a book, but a book series, and you come to the end and you just feel a little sad? Or maybe it's not reading, maybe it's a movie series, you know, the Star Wars saga or something like that. Maybe it's a show you've been binge watching, and you and the family have been binge watching a show, and it's been on for what seems like forever, and you come down to those last episodes, or even the very last episode, you feel a little sad. You might even really like the way the finale ended, but you feel a little sad because it's like a friend, like someone you've grown accustomed to, is moving on, or like you are moving on. I feel a bit of that way sometimes when I study the book of Philippians and I come to the end. You'll see why I say that maybe in just a moment, but we're here studying the book of Philippians. We were talking last week about the fact that we are secure in Christ, and that even affects everything as far as our finances. But we come to the end of the book, the end of the letter, and Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he says, hey, verse 21 of chapter 4, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. And the brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. And all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so Paul ends the book. Almost feels like a postscript, you know, like a P.S. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, let's say it a little different. It almost feels like the credits at the end of the movie and the after credits scene. Like everything's just running and there's a lot of people mentioned. And if you're really lucky, there's an after credits scene that has some hidden stuff that's really cool. This kind of reminds me of that because, well, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is God-breathed. So even these little PSs, these after credits, have incredible things in them. But when we read our Bibles, we often skip these parts because we think, it's just like signing off. But there's more going on than that I want to show you. But before we do that, I want to look back for just a few minutes. And I want to review a bit of where we've been, because the book of Philippians has been so, so good to us. For months now, we've been talking about joy and how powerful it is to have God's joy, His sacred satisfaction, God's mood, Jesus' mood, to have that mood in our lives and possible and practical on a daily basis in circumstances where it doesn't seem possible. You know, we were back in chapter 1, right? It began like chapter 1, right out of the gate. Paul had said, like, I thank my God every time I remember you. And in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What good news! We were reminded, we spent a lot of time in chapter 1 talking about our circumstances, but also talking about our outlook or our mindset, our focus. We talked about what rolls around in our headspace, and we said that I must choose what dominates my headspace, that I have to be intentional about it, and I will do that based on either my circumstances or God's work in my circumstances. That's what this is teaching us. And there's so much joy in that. That when I rebuild my confidence, when I build my confidence on Jesus' unhindered ability to work through the chaos in my life, that there is great joy there. Chapter 1 went on, and you know, there are various things that are said there. Paul begins to talk about what happened to him really served to advance the gospel, that the whole palace guard had become to hear the gospel and know that he was in the chains for Christ. Later in that chapter, he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And Paul was making much of Jesus and the walk with Jesus, and he was essentially telling us that life's just more joyful when the way of Jesus is a way of life. That joy comes not from my outer circumstances, but from my internal walk with Christ. We came to chapter 2, and chapter 2 of Philippians is largely about relationships. We spent a lot of time talking about pride. You might remember we spent some time on racism, because racism is rooted in pride, and neither is biblical. Both are wrong. And so we spent a lot of time talking about the meaning of life. And we equated that with love, right? In fact, I think in Philippians 2, we said specifically that the secret to life is love. But what most of us don't know is that the secret to love is humility. And so we made our way through chapter 2, talking again not only about humility specifically, but the humility of Jesus, that humility heals what pride divides. You know, it said there in chapter 2, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, the same mind as Christ Jesus. And then it talks about how he humbled himself, how he was God in his very nature, but did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. And rather, Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That Jesus became like us so that in turn we could become like him. Well, chapter 2 has many other great things to offer, but we spent some time not only finishing chapter 2, but making our way to chapter 3. And we spent quite a bit of time in chapter 3. Philippians 3 spends a lot of time talking about our mindset again as it relates to our past and this moment we're living in right now, and the future that is ahead of us. And we spent some time on religion, talking about the fact that I need to lose my religion in order to gain Christ, in order to gain Jesus. And that may be a new thought to you, but Paul said there, chapter 3, verse 7, that whatever were gains to me, many of those things he was calling gains were all religious attitudes, religious perspectives, and religious accomplishments. He said, whatever I thought were gains, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I need to lose my religion to gain Jesus. That religion is never the solution, and grace always is. We made our way through chapter 3, talking not only about losing religion, but talking about the ability to look at life with a certain perspective. Paul said, look, I haven't obtained all this. I haven't already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, just reminding us that Jesus and knowing Jesus is the power behind the process of getting past my past. That life is more joyful when the way of Jesus and the way of grace becomes my way of life. We learned at the end of chapter 3 that there's more to life, and we learned to live this life for more than this life specifically. We came to chapter 4 and we made a transition. We began to talk about alleviating anxiety, because Philippians chapter 4 is absolutely about the peace of God and the anxiety that we carry in our lives. And we discovered some powerful truths there. Right, Paul? Paul writes, chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer," in a posture of humility before God, coming to ask something of God, "by petition, simple requests of God, with thanksgiving, gratitude, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We talked about, if I want victory over worry in my life, that I need to learn to practice living in the presence of God, to recognize that the presence of God is with me right here, right now. We made a transition there, and we began to talk about anxiety in our minds, and we particularly focused on the concept of contentment, that Paul said that he had learned the secret of contentment, of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. The secret was this: I can do all this, the contentment in any circumstance, through Christ who gives me strength. We talked about the fact that contentment is learned, not earned, and is learned from Jesus. The contentment is rooted in gratitude, not gratification. That the secret to real life security in the end becomes, again, practicing the generosity of Jesus, practicing real life generosity. Which brings us right back to the end of Philippians chapter 4, to the postscript, to the credits and the after credits. And I have been so touched by what we've talked about that, like something silly, like a show that I've been binge watching, I feel like there are people here and characters here, and there are people in the story that I've gotten to know in this church in Philippi, and I don't want to let go of the things they've taught me. So I'm going to read the text again, except I'm going to back up one verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 20. "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." It's like Paul gives a little benediction here, a blessing. And he ends, "Amen." And then he thinks of a couple of things. And he says, "Oh yeah, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings as well. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Again, he sort of ends things, and I think he is reminding us, this whole letter has been reminding us, I've said it several times here, that life is more joyful. And this is the one thing I'm trying to teach us today, that life is more joyful when the way of Jesus becomes my way of life. Now, we've said that in times in the past, but I just want it to lock into our souls that letting go of the book of Philippians doesn't mean that we're letting go of the way of Jesus. that can become more and more a way of life. And the cool thing about the Bible is if I need to, I can always go back and reread something and what I've learned from it. Let it soak in. Next week, we're going to begin a new series. That new series will be called Turbulence, because these are turbulent times. And I'm going to talk about how Jesus taught about turbulence, how he handled turbulence, and how the Bible teaches us to walk through it. We might need to buckle up, but we don't let it cause fear and keep us from moving forward. So that's going to be a fun study, but today I want to show you just very quickly why life is more joyful when the way of Jesus becomes my way of life. In essence, we're talking about the mission of Jesus, that when I begin to live on his mission, that my life begins to reflect more of who he is and the mood of Jesus, that sacred satisfaction becomes a part of my perspective. So I've got in these last verses, in this after credits, I've got for us five reminders, and I'm going to run through them very practically and very quickly. Five reminders for a joy-filled life. Number one, reminder number one, is to live for God's incomparable glory. To live for God's incomparable, incomparable glory. Verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This tight, small, short little benediction. A benediction is not a word I use a whole lot, but it's basically a blessing. We often think of a benediction as a blessing that happens at the end of a religious service. You find many of them in Scripture. Jude 24 and 25, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. There are these beautiful little benedictions that take place in Scripture. It should remind our soul, in this case, of what we live for, specifically who we live for. I don't live for my glory. I don't live for myself. There are many of us that are glory hogs, right? And many of us have tried to live for our own glory, and the final verdict on that is that it's empty. It's vain. When I'm selfish, that's what it was telling us back in chapter 2, that vain, selfish glory is empty, and he is reminding us that life is more joyful when I live for the glory of God. How powerful is that? The second reminder that's here is to love God's great, big, diverse family. Probably a few too many adjectives there. But I think we really have to learn, while we're in this world, to relate well to other people. And that relating well to other people involves loving one another as Jesus has loved us. Again, when the way of Jesus becomes a way of life, then love becomes a way of life. Not just love for people who are just like me, but for people who are near and people who are far. People who are in my family and people who are nothing like me at all. People who live in my city or in my country or in my world. I don't know about you, but I find myself so often disappointed in how we treat people who are different than us. I've said before, I will probably say many more times, right, that everybody who votes from any different perspective is welcome here at Harvest, that our command is to love you. But I would say this to you, I care far more about how you love people who vote different than you, then I care about who you vote for. Now, to be clear, voting's a privilege. You should vote. But I care because the Bible cares about how we treat the people who are different than us. And that includes the people in our city, the people in our state, and the people in our country who vote different than us. God's family is big and extensive and exhaustive. It's diverse and tremendous and significant and important. And the kingdom is bigger than any one set of people. Likewise, the kingdom is bigger than any one church, and we have brothers and sisters across our city, and brothers and sisters across our country, and brothers and sisters across our world. He says, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus, and the brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. So the people are in Philippi, and Paul's in a complete other country, right, in Italy, in Rome, and he is saying the people here greet the people that are there. And it's so cool to be co-laborers in the mission of God. And one of the cool things when we take mission trips, when we partner with people around the world to share the gospel, is the barriers that divide us begin to come down. But we don't have to wait until we're in Haiti or in Asia or in Africa or some other part of the world to see those barriers come down. We can build those bridges right here in our city. You know, the brothers and sisters in our town that don't go to our church, they're not our competition. They're our brothers and sisters. And the brothers and sisters we have around the world might think Americans are nuts, but they're still our brothers and sisters in the Lord when they know Christ. And we are called to love God's great, big, diverse family. And if you haven't figured this one out, you better get used to it now. Because when I read about heaven, I read about people who come from every tribe and language and nation. So let's learn to love. Let's do it now. Number three. The reminder here, this third reminder, is to reach out to God's rebel kids. That the way of Jesus becomes a way of life when I begin to live on his mission. And Jesus always had a heart for the lost. It's where Jesus told the stories about leaving the 99 to go for the one. Where he told stories about searching for the lost sheep or the lost coin. Or specifically, he told a story, we call it the parable of the prodigal son, where the father always had a heart for the son who was the rebel. The son who lavishly wasted everything. Verse 22, he says, all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. There's something powerful packed into that. But just to get the perspective on it, I would remind you of something he said back in chapter 1. He basically said in chapter 1 that what had happened to him, this was verse 12 of chapter 1, had happened to serve to advance the gospel. And as a result, it had become clear through the whole palace guard and to everyone else that he was in chains for Christ. And he was able to preach Christ to the people who lived, who worked, who served in Caesar's household. And some of them came to know Jesus. How cool is that? That's amazing. And you know what? In your workplace, in your neighborhood, in our city, in our state, and in our world, there are people all around us that are watching us to see if we'll love like Jesus loves, if we'll live like Jesus lives. I say, let's do it. Let's have that heart to reach out to God's rebel kids. I would encourage you to pray for them. Who's someone you can pray for that can be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest in the coming days and months? And I know it's COVID season, but that's not going to last forever, but eternity will. So who are you praying for? You know, Paul did not want to be in prison for the life of him. And I'm sure while he relished the opportunity to speak the gospel before Caesar, he didn't want to be on trial for his life necessarily. But he didn't run from it either. And he knew that God would be honored no matter what. And so in that, he was committed to reaching out to those who didn't yet know Christ. You and I find much joy when we live the same, when the way of Jesus becomes our way of life. Number four, the reminder here, this fourth reminder, is to trust in God's grace-filled power. That there is so much joy in knowing that God is greater in his power than any sense of power we will experience in this world. Let me say it a slightly different way. That there are powerful people in this world, and we so often are disappointed in powerful people. I don't mean to refer to one side of politics or the other. In fact, really specifically, I would refer to all of it. That more times than not, powerful people will disappoint us. And when we put our hope in powerful people, well, we're set up for failure. But the power of God and God's grace-filled power is so much beyond the powers of this world. I mean, think about this. Paul will be on trial in Rome before Caesar for his life. And what he's on trial for is for preaching that Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not. And this is telling us that the power of Rome, the greatest, most powerful force at the time on the planet, that the power of Rome, the greatest human and political power on the planet at the time, couldn't stop the power of the gospel. And so people in Caesar's own household were deciding that Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not. What good news is that? That there will be moments where we face opposition and moments that are painful in this life. And there will be difficult moments, but God uses those moments to further the gospel. That God's grace-filled power is greater than the powers that be on our planet. Man, that's encouraging. I have one more for us. Number five. He is reminding us to live our lives walking in God's amazing grace. That's that fifth reminder. To walk in God's amazing grace. Verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So be it. Amen. What he's saying is that the way of grace is the way of Jesus, and that life is better. It's more joy-filled. That life is more of what it's meant to be when the way of Jesus, the way of grace, becomes my way of life. And so he is praying, in essence, that the grace of the Lord Jesus would be with their spirit. Man, how cool is that? And yet, that's the secret to a more joy-filled life. Not a life where you get everything you want. Not a life where the circumstances always turn out the way you want. Not a life where there's never hardship or pain or difficulty. That the secret to a more joy-filled life, well, it's to follow Jesus and let that way of Jesus become you and I's way of life. I want to pray that for you today. So I realize any time that we share the word and we preach the gospel that there are people listening, right, who don't yet know Jesus. And we want you to know that we love you, but more than our love for you, Jesus loves you. And I would encourage you to just understand the basics, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born into this world, God in a bod, basically, right? God is a baby. But that baby grew up and he was tortured for being God's son. But God used that to our advantage. And all the wrongs, all the sins, all the things we fall short in and fail in life, all of that was placed on Jesus on that cross, and he was buried, and the world kind of washed their hands of Jesus and said, good riddance. And they buried Jesus in a tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him, and death wouldn't win. And Jesus rose from the dead, and he sent away and left behind all those sins that you and I have committed. And so you and I can be graced. We can be forgiven. We can have mercy and hope and goodness and joy. And everything that God has to offer is available because Jesus is alive and offers it freely to us. But we've just got to receive it. accept it. God doesn't force it on anyone. So here's my question to you. Would you receive it today? Would you become a follower of Jesus today? Would you? If you would, I want to pray a prayer with you that you can pray along with me to become a Christian, to follow Jesus with your life. Now, many of you have prayed a prayer like this before, and I'll have a prayer of application, a prayer of discipleship for you as well in a few minutes, in just a minute. But first, I want to pray with those of us that might today say, you know what, I need to become a Christian. And pray just like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you lived, you died, and you rose again. So Jesus, please forgive my wrongs, my sins. I put my faith in you. And Jesus, I ask you to be my God. And Jesus, I ask you to be in charge of my world and my life, to be my Lord. Just take over my life, Jesus. And mold me and shape me and make me like you. Full of grace. Full of love. Full of joy. Jesus, I pray this in your name. Man, if you prayed that prayer with me just now, I am so excited. Something just gets us super excited around here when people become Christians for the very first time. We want to celebrate with you. We'd love to give you a Bible. We'd love to talk with you about what it means to be part of the church. We'd love to talk with you about baptism and what that is. There's a lot we'd love to share with you. So would you let me know? You can let me know on your digital communication card that was mentioned earlier in the service. Or you can let me know by emailing me. I'm Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at harvestchurcheugene.com. Or maybe someone invited you to watch, and maybe you want to tell them and let them let us know, and we can celebrate with you. We'd love to do that. Now, many of you prayed a prayer like that many, many, many years ago. And if that's you, I want to pray a prayer that you can pray with me to apply this to your life, to have a more joy-filled life by living the way of Jesus, by asking Jesus for his way to become your way of life. So would you pray this with me? Dear Jesus, help me to absorb all that Philippians as a book has to offer. Jesus, make me a more joy-filled person, focused on gratitude, focused on your work, focused on your love and your grace. Jesus, help me to live for your glory and not my own. Help me to love all of your family, your big, diverse family. Help me to reach out to your runaway kids, to the rebels of our world. When I'm discouraged, help me to trust in your grace-filled power that is more powerful than all of the political powers on our planet. And Jesus, help me to walk in your amazing grace, to live it, and to sort of roll around in it and abide in it and absorb it. And may your grace just be all over me, so much so that your way of grace becomes my way of life. Please, Lord, do this in me, Jesus. Again, I pray in your powerful name. Amen. Amen. I am so glad that you're worshiping Jesus with us today. Maybe you want to share this message with someone. You know, you can go on social media and share it from YouTube. You can share it on Facebook or a variety of other ways. Maybe you want to plug in to something we're doing here at Harvest. We'd love to have you do that. If there's any way we can serve you, any way we can meet your needs, please just let us know on that digital communication card. But more than any of that, I hope you know this. Here at Harvest, we love you. I love you. And we do all that because Jesus loves you. So remember, till next week, not only are we in this together, but Jesus is in it with us. I'll see you next week.